Other Questions and Concerns. By any standard, Mormonism is more ridiculous than any other religion. Bill Maher. I finally had to admit it wasn't a good church, much less a true one. User on wasmormon.org. Group Dynamics. After years of interacting with skeptics, I conclude that for critics, the actual sin of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is that we dare to group ourselves together. Random, scattered, isolated individuals pose no real threat or benefit to anyone. To our critics, it would be better if we were not a cohesive group. Aren't the Latter-day Saints able to do more good as a group? Don't we help more as a unit? Don't the youth benefit from being with other youth and adult mentors? Don't men and women benefit from being part of a group? Didn't the Missourians in Jackson County in the 1830s persecute the saints because they were a group? A group that could disrupt the status quo in Missouri? In a way, aren't the Extermination Order Missourians of the 1830s the spiritual forebears of many of the critics of the church today? Every October and April, dozens of critics eagerly listen to General Conference with the intent of providing new content for their audiences. I see them criticize virtually every speaker from every angle. It feels like they prefer we say nothing. I think they wish we just kept our mouths shut and kept the TVs off that weekend. They especially shun principles related to covenants and standards. Is it wrong to have a standard, a goal, an aim? Are we allowed to say anything? Or must we remain silent for fear of making someone, somewhere, feel bad? Would the critics prefer that our church was nothing more than a glorified self-help seminar mixed with Jesus? Anytime there is a large group, it requires some institutional organization. Gallup reported historic lows in trust in U.S. institutions in 2022 and 2023. Distrusting institutions is trendy. I want to see the church do good, but I have so little trust in the organization. Reddit user. Aren't critics being swept up in what is societally popular right now? Is their problem really with the church, or do they have other influences, such as a general distrust of organizations that inform their skepticism? It's easy to see the bias. Look at any comments reacting to any clearly positive headline with the church and see the vitriol. $44 million donated to alleviate world hunger in 2023. Is the old adage you've got to spend money to make money applicable here? Reddit user. $8.7 million donated to the Red Cross in 2024. That's literally pocket change for the multi-billion dollar church and is only donated for tax purposes, if this is even true. Reddit user. Light the World Charity Vending Machines, where the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints absorbed 100% of the operating cost. Brilliant and greedy marketing. They keep their hundreds of billions in the bank. Members and some others pay for the gifts, and LDS Inc. gets all the glory and another PR win. Reddit user. Even if legit, why doesn't the church encourage members to donate directly to these organizations? Why make people give it to them so they can claim it as money that they are donating? For a church claiming to be led by Jesus, they care more about the appearance of being charitable than actual charity. Reddit user. Free ice cream for visitors at BYU football. I do not remember the exact quote, but I recall vividly someone on X Twitter in the fall of 2023 who claimed that free ice cream for visitors at BYU football games was a ploy to gain converts and thereby make more tithing money. The X Twitter user's math was something like, if they have 1% conversion rate on 3,000 visitors, that's 30 converts a game. If each convert pays $10,000 a year in tithing in perpetuity, then the church gets a huge return on their investment. The truth is that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is excellent at providing aid and helping for the right reasons and with little fanfare. I'm sure the church could be doing more in the same way that I could be doing more. I suspect that no matter who the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints helps and how much money is donated, there are a great many people who will sneer and make accusations. So I stopped listening to them. Masculinity. Toxic masculinity is a popular subject in the culture right now, as it should be. Abusive and domineering men should be stopped and taught. Is there a better program than the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for teaching boys how to be truly masculine? Doesn't the church do a great job of giving boys and men a responsibility and a role to play in society and in the church? Aren't the church's doctrines and teachings directing boys and men to think of others and serve God? Isn't the church a great place for good men to mentor boys, men who teach true masculinity? Aren't the boys of the church less likely to become delinquent, less likely to be destructive or toxic? Are there other successful large organizations where men are taught as successfully by other men how to be a force for good in their families and in the world? Aren't women the biggest beneficiary of the church's ability to create good men? Aren't so many problems in society tied to fatherlessness? Doesn't the gospel of Jesus Christ remedy the root causes of fatherlessness? If the world, like members of the church, practiced the principles of chastity, charity, temperance, and patience, wouldn't we have fewer divorces and family abandonments? Violence. On March 30th, 2024, a news story was published about a teenage boy from Gilbert, Arizona, who beat up another boy at a party. The victim died from his injuries. A critic of The Church of Jesus Christ posted online the original news article with the following, now deleted, caption. AZ Hometown News, a group of wealthy Mormon teens bullied and beat a 16-year-old to death in Gilbert, Arizona. The local Mormon community corroborated to protect the perpetrator, and the Gilbert police refused to charge until national pressure made them. I was upset that something like that could happen among our ranks. Having lived briefly in neighboring Queen Creek, Arizona, I was stunned that something like that could happen. Then I read the news article. There was not one mention of the boy's religious affiliation, no indication of a conspiracy to cover up by local ward/stake members, and nothing about the Gilbert police delaying pressing charges. Nothing about the boy or the details surrounding the incident sounded remotely like the account was about a faithful Latter-day Saint teenage boy. Sure enough, less than 24 hours later, to this critic's credit, they owned their mistake and admitted, "None of the Gilbert goons are Mormon. It is a rumor. There are a lot of Mormons in Gilbert. Some fool started the rumor that some of the goons are Mormon, and I foolishly boasted that baseless rumor." Why do false stories like the one above and many similar ones get so much attention? There are countless examples of critics desperately trying to find systematic violence among the Latter-day Saints. Why are critics so eager to do so? Critics cannot accept or desperately try to cover up the reality that The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints helps bad people become good and good people become better. Critics grab onto anything that allows them to believe that the church is bad. In truth, every lesson, sacrament sermon, and general conference talks points Latter-day Saints to the Savior. Every devotional, fireside, and ordinance is intended to inspire the listener to improve themselves, their homes, their communities, and the world. Why would I listen to critics who promote false narratives if I'm trying to find more light and truth? Unfortunately, we live in a fallen world, and some bad people are out there. Sometimes those people are members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. However, common sense and evidence indicate that bad people in the church are bad in spite of the church's teachings, not because of it. Worldview. For years, I wondered how people who are part of the same church and listening to the same messages could have radically different interpretations. BYU-Idaho professor of psychology Jeffrey Thane gave a fair Latter-day Saint conference speech in 2021 titled Worldview Apologetics, Revealing the Waters in Which We Swim. So much of what I see in the church and from detractors of the church finally made sense to me when I saw and pondered the message of the video of this speech. And please watch the video. It is really good, in my opinion. Jeffrey gives a hypothetical example of two members of the church, James and Greg. Both declare that the 1995 The Family Proclamation to the World is doctrinal. James believes that cultural norms and practices that encourage chastity are a natural expression of the proclamation on the family. Greg believes that those same norms and policies regarding chastity stifle self-expression and burden LGBT-identified individuals. How? How can two members of the same church who believe the same document is doctrinal come to different conclusions? It all comes down to worldview. Jeffrey says, "A worldview is a set of values and assumptions about the world through which we interpret our experiences. More specifically, worldviews shape our understanding of what human flourishing and the good life look like. The story we tell ourselves informs how we see the world, or rather, it is the waters we swim in." Thain then goes on to explain the two prominent worldviews, out of many, that influence members of the church, the gospel worldview/story and the expressive individualist worldview/story. Both worldviews have a central problem/conflict, character aspirations, desires, expected anticipated resolution, definition of human flourishing and the good life, and villains and antagonists. The gospel worldview/story, characters, aspirations, and desires, salvation and exaltation, return to live with God. The central problem/conflict, alienation from God through sin and rebellion. The expected anticipated resolution, redemption through Christ by making and keeping sacred covenants. Human flourishing and the good life, fruits and gifts of the Spirit and temple worship. Villains and antagonists, sin, vice, and the adversary. The expressive individualist worldview/story, characters, aspirations, and desires to become our truest selves, to live authentically. The central problem and conflict, judgment and evaluation from others leads us to live falsely. The expected anticipated resolution, break free of stifling norms and expectations. Human flourishing and the good life, living in communities that celebrate our uniquenesses. Villains and antagonists, norms that make us feel judged and evaluated. The two visuals presented by Thain helped me completely change the way I see the world. They give me compassion for those who oppose the church. Depending on how I define the villain of the worldview/story, I could have easily become hostile to the church as well. Depending on our worldview, here's how the story plays out. Expressive individualism, oppressive community, personal liberation, remaking community. The gospel story, alienation from God through sin, reconciliation with God through Christ, the fruits and gifts of the Spirit. In my mind, the gospel story is much more compelling. I see more positive fruits from the gospel story than the widespread expressive individualist story in the culture. People today are more depressed, lonelier, and less religious than ever. I believe that a restoration to Christ as the central hero of our story is the only way to true societal healing. Wouldn't a worldview that focuses more on the gratification of my immediate wants hurt my family and community? Wouldn't focusing on short-term immediate pleasures make me less happy in the long run? Wouldn't my family and I be much better off with the gospel story? I can imagine how miserable I would be if I only sought relationships with people who had no expectations of me. A shallow life where I cut out of my life everyone else who does not affirm me because they are toxic. I can imagine it because those are the cultural waters we swim in.